The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Today, I am with Master Sommelier and a partner with Somm App. It is Elise Lambert. Elise, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation, Matt.
Absolutely. So before we talk about your role with the app and your own journey into wine, I'm in Toronto, so I have to start the interview like this. I saw on your Instagram account you were rocking a Montreal Canadiens hat. What wine?
I'm a Habs fan.
Yes. What wine did you pair with Montreal beating Toronto?
Oh my God, I've been drinking lots of rosé. I could not believe it. So I've been pairing like really like hockey food with fresh and crisp rosé. I wanted to see my life in pink, as I would not believe what was going on with our team. We've been living a dream with the Habs this season. So I'm looking forward to see our team coming back with the Stanley Cup, hopefully.
Well, as we record,
that's what I'm looking for, and like the closer we get to the Stanley Cup, the bigger the wine bottles are. So far, so good. I'm drinking pretty well.
All right, which goes to my next question: if you beat Vegas and then win another round and win the cup, do you have a bottle of wine that you're staring at, going, "If Montreal wins the Stanley Cup, I'm opening that"?
For I believe it's going to be some champagne, because it's a time for celebration. For now, like as we're moving forward, I started opening like some great Burgundy as wine of exception, because we have a season of exception. So it's a step-by-step process. I'm following my team with starting with some dreaming wine, like rosé, like easy to drink wine, and then going like in deeper, like more exceptional wine. And we're going to finish with celebration for sure. So that's probably the way to go for me with the abs.
Us Toronto Maple Leafs fans, we're drinking Coors Light that was left out in the sun for 8 hours.
I'm sorry for you. Aren't they losing since 1967. Losers since 1967. Coors Light. That's good. Good for me. Sorry for you. Well, you can always now like join forces on supporting the Canadian team, the only Canadian team that is in this Stanley Cup final.
At least I'm going to tell you right now, it's never going to happen. And I don't think you're actually sorry.
Okay.
So.
No, I'm not sorry at all.
No, you're not. All right. So before we get into the Somm app, which is it's a really cool way to help people bridge the world of wine, I want to do a little bit of background on you. And before we get into competitions or becoming a master Somm, one question I've never asked anyone in your position: what does it mean to build a wine program, a wine list? What are some of the factors that go into what you're going to buy and what you're going to stock up on?
What's important when you have a wine list, and when you're building a wine list as a sommelier, you're not doing a wine list for yourself. You're doing a wine list for your guest and for the person that is hiring you, in regard of a menu and a budget, which is super, super important. So sometimes I feel like some people tend to forget that a wine list is built for the pleasure of their guests to start with. So what I'm trying to do, and I've been trying to do all the time in the different places I was in, was to look for like great values, little gem, sure shot, like some fantastic wine or wine of exception. But building a wine list is putting together an offer that will be a good partner to the menu and a crowd pleaser as well, for the guests to be able to discover some wine, but to have as well some great value wine or some wines that they will recognize. So a wine list is like an offer of diversity. And you know, this question could take a long time to answer, but overall what I want to stress on is guest is first, like, and it's guest pleasure that is going first, respecting, of course, the budget of other person that is like the owner or the person that is hiring you. So overall, a long answer to a short question, but that's fundamental as it's part of the sommelier role.
You mentioned about finding the values and the fun wines, which actually this kind of goes with the SOM app, but what are regions, what are areas you would recommend to people that want to find very, very good wine that maybe don't cost as much as Burgundy?
Of course, that great value you can find in some places that do grow lots of grapes because you have lots of surface. So thinking of Spain, right now Spain is offering like some fantastic value. South of France, such as Languedoc and Roussillon can offer this kind of great value too. Some Italian wine can offer as well some very good deal. If you're thinking of South America, Argentina is always like in Chile are always like in the like favorite like great value wine for sure. So of course that you'll never have like great value in Burgundy. These days Burgundy is suffering from shortage of like very, very small vintage. And lots of demand, so it's for sure not in this year area that you're gonna find anything that is good value. Again, it's difficult, Matt, when we talk about wine, for me to just summarize and be very specific because the wine world is so diverse.
Oh, absolutely, it is. I think I agree with you. Like Spain gets great value, and one other one I found some good stuff recently has been the Cote de Rhone. Been able to find some good stuff for that like $17 to $20 range.
Definitely the Côte-du-Rhône Village appellation have a fairly large surface. And if you're a Grenache lover, Côte-du-Rhône is fun because it's usually a very nice crowd pleaser. It's a very consensual appellation. So if you have a little bit of everyone around your table, like some people that prefer New World, some people that prefer a European wine, going with the Côte du Rhône is going to be like the best way to go to make sure that you're going to keep everybody around the table, everybody happy around the table.
Actually this can kind of dovetail nicely into the SOM app. I'm curious what your role is with the app and how it can help people be able to find these sorts of wines.
Well, my role with the app is actually I've been partnering with Jem and the team, Jennifer and the team for already like several months now. We wanted to focus. Jennifer is such a fantastic partner. She's brilliant. I'm going in this direction to come back to your question because wanting to work with an app for me was not a natural to start with. But she's been actually the connection in between the wine and the app. My role in the app is to actually bring like everything that would be the thought of a SOM in an app. Of course, being able as well to share my passion on like different events as well, and letting people understand what is the role of a sommelier and being able to transfer it in an application. So if I'm not there, Matt, to give you recommendation, the app's going to be there for you to give you recommendation that would be the most, that would make the most sense. So it's like putting Elise Lambert in an app, basically. That's what we're trying to do. But I'm not alone in this process. So it's to make sure that the app is there when I'm not or when your favorite sommelier is not.
And yeah, I had Jennifer as the CEO of the SOM app, had her on a couple months ago, and she was really good. And for people who haven't listened to it, go back onto iTunes. You can find that interview. The part of the role of this app is just trying to make wine more approachable, but also just trying to identify for the wine drinker what are the wines that they are going to enjoy the most.
Totally. So the idea with the app is to be able to have like a wine recommendation to like a food pairing process that's gonna be simple. So the app's gonna help you finding your way on having the best recommendation in regard of what you're drinking, as if you had a sommelier with you. And we want to keep it simple. It's a very user friendly app. That will give you as well some recommendation. If you download the SOM app, you're gonna see that there's as well like some great package that we have put together with our partner to make sure that you're gonna be able as well to discover some new stuff.
How important is it to make wine more approachable and more fun for the consumer?
I think people are still like very sometimes uncomfortable with the wine conversation. If you go to the restaurant, like speaking with the somm, sometimes people are like not knowing where to start. And we want to keep this process very fun and very, very organic, where people will be able to find their way in a wine recommendation just by having like some simple questions such as, okay, do you want just to sip on something, or you have celebration? Do you want to have like a food pairing? Okay, what are you eating? So it's all questions that you know naturally you're gonna answer, and the app's gonna find through all of those questions suggestion that will fit what you're looking for. So if you haven't downloaded it, like go and have a look. It's easy and it's fun and it's very organic.
Yeah, and also what I appreciate on the other side is the connecting with other small producers and bottle shops and restaurants, just as a way to sort of expand so that people have other options in terms of buying wine than just strictly going to the LCBO.
Exactly. We have put together with our partners some packages that are like season related, that that offers different little package like that can be a little bit more simple, a little bit more expensive. But there's the app is for everybody. That if you're just starting in the wine world and trying to find your way, you're gonna find a package that's going to be nice and affordable. If you're more a wine aficionado, you could be having some great discovery with if you're spending a little bit more money too. So the app is really for everybody, and that's the idea with SOM.
Yeah, and again, I definitely recommend everyone to check it out. It's I'm a dummy when it comes to technology, and it was like really easy for me to use. Going back, Elise, a little bit on your own background, and just it's an impressive one, from best sommelier of Quebec in 2004, third best in Canada in 2006, going all the way 2015, best sommelier in Canada, and all these international events, you know, in like Buenos Aires and around the world. I'm always curious for people that go into the high end level of these competitions. What for you, Elise, is the toughest part, and then on the other end, the most fun of wine competitions?
The most fun is you're never done learning in our wine world. And the reason I started competition was to get better at what I was doing. And it's just giving you a goal to stay in your books, to continue reading, to continue tasting and traveling. So that's the reason I've been doing making competition for so long. The tough part is discipline. I've been competing from 2002 to 2016. That's a long stretch. Discipline is key, and you have to think not only about like the goal, but about the journey. And through this journey, sometime, you know, I had to say no to friends saying like, oh, just come out and we're going to have fun and we're going to have dinner and this and that. It was like, oh, no, I'm studying. No, I'm in my books. No, I have to do this. And so it's like an Olympic athlete when you're prepping those competition. It's all about discipline and focus and dedication. The tough part.
It's so true. And actually, I want to get to that in a second about that discipline and for you becoming a master somm. Do you remember in any of your competitions, does anything stick out for you, a crazy question, or was there a tasting that you were most proud that you nailed, some funky wine that you were able to hone in on?
I would say that when I won Best Sommelier of Canada, I was in Toronto at the time, and they had put together some blind tasting, and on the blind tasting, they had put two Nebbiolos back to back in the tasting. There was three wines, and actually it was three Italian wines, including two Nebbiolos. And the people never do that. They never put two similar varietal back to back in blind tasting. It's something that is quite unusual. And I called both Nebbiolo, like being very convinced that both were Nebbiolo, and everybody was like, man, she just lost it. She called back to back two Nebbiolos, and they got the bottle out and it was two Nebbiolos. So I was like, okay. So sometimes it's about listening to your gut. And I was sure for me it was Nebbiolo, but at the same time I'm calling two Nebbiolos back to back and I'm so much in trouble. But I listened to the little voice inside and followed my gut, and it got me to Best Sommelier of Canada.
That is awesome. And what I appreciate about that, about what you did, is so many of us, when we go in these competitions, we will try to game the competition. We won't just focus on our wine notes. We won't just focus on the wine. We'll go, well, they can't have two Nebbiolos. The second one, maybe it's Etna, or maybe it's this or that. But you stuck with your wine notes, and you stuck with your instincts about what the wine, you know, told you it was. That's impressive, because you had to go against some of just the rule or the usual patterns when it comes to wine competition.
And it's fun because I was finalizing my tasting, and I had some my family and some friends in the room, and it took me forever before calling the last Nebbiolo. And I called the last Nebbiolo like about, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds before the end, before they said time. And when I called like the second Nebbiolo and finally like Barolo and in the vintage, I looked at the people in the room and they were looking at me like, what was that? You know, until they got the bottle out and they were like, oh my God, like seriously. Anyway, that's probably one of my favorite time ever in blind tasting. This is the Master Sommelier final taste as well. My final tasting when I got my Master Sommelier was very, very, very difficult. And again, I followed my gut. When you taste, sometimes you just have to focus on cause and effect, and you just go down and you just like deep dive in the wine. You just don't question yourself. Just go into the analysis of each component of the wine. And anyway, it's been a quite interesting journey too.
Absolutely. Hold on though. Now I want to go here. And by the way, I love that story about the Best Sommelier in Canada competition. What do you remember about your tasting? I think, was it 2015 when you became a Master Somm? What was that tasting like?
It was probably the most difficult tasting in my life. As for Master Sommelier, it's 6 different wines, and we had to taste the wines in 25 minutes. The 3 white wines, I didn't know at the time, but after like the analysis of 3 wines, the first 3 were like low aromatic on oak white wine. So everything was fresh and elegant, and we had to split hairs, like seriously looking for what was the little difference in each of the wines. And the first wine that was in my series was a Pinot Grigio, which is probably the varietal that I find the most difficult. It's my default wine that I like to say. The default wine is, if it's not this, not this, not this, and not this, it may be that. So I have to get through the whole process before I make my mind calling Pinot Grigio. And it was my first wine. So it took me forever before calling Pinot Grigio on wine number 1. I was like, oh my God, am I really calling Pinot Grigio on that one? And following that, wine number 2, that was non-aromatic and really fresh. Same, you know, I was really struggling on those white wines. So when I finished my wine number 3, I was like, okay, whatever, you know, like I'll do my best. But at this point, I was already like short on time, and I had to deep dive in the 3 reds.
Yeah.
Finally on wine number 3, I started like smelling, and I put my nose in the glass and I knew it was Bordeaux. So I kind of like rushed in and covered everything like boom, 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 boom. Boom, for me it was Bordeaux in and out. So that I catched up on a little bit of time. But number 5 and number 6 were some tough ones. So yeah, it's been, I don't want to go in too much detail, but I went to wine number 5 and 6 and 6 was Nebbiolo again. So Nebbiolo has been in my life for a long time and it's been a love affair with Nebbiolo. So I knew that number 6 went Nebbiolo, but I had called number 5 Nebbiolo. So I had to go back. I needed to go back. I knew at the time that I had made the mistake there. So I went back on my wine number 5. And when I put my nose in the glass, suddenly like it got very clear of what it was. So I changed my call and I changed it for the best. But again, it was like few seconds before the end of my 25 minutes. So I got out with the most difficult tasting of my life.
That's a great story. I love the details. You have to remember, as someone who's done like nowhere near your level, just the diploma for WSET, I love these stories. And by the way, is there anything meaner than them starting you with, I mean, I guess they have to, it's to become a master sommelier, but starting you with a Pinot Grigio, that's just mean. Where's a Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc when you need it?
Yeah, exactly. But the fun part of it is, you know, I got a very good taster, I believe, after like 6 years of trialing and trying to get this Master Sommelier title, the only part that I was missing was the tasting. And to start with, I was very stubborn. I thought I could do it my way. And you know, if you want to become a Master Sommelier, it's all about understanding what's expected and following the guidelines. If you're not like following the guidelines, you'll never get it. So at some point, I got it and started like really using this grid and understanding everything that was requested. You have to be a little bit lucky too. This Pinot Grigio thing, you know what saved me, Matt?
What?
I understood a few months before getting the Master Sommelier title that I had to calibrate and calibrate with a high acidity wine all the time. So and when you're nervous, you lose a little bit of saliva, so you get like your mouth is getting very dry and usually the lecture of the acidity is wrong. So what you have to do is always calibrate before tasting. I had in a coffee cup just before getting into the tasting, a Sancerre, a very high acidity wine that I sipped on just before getting in. I thought the master sommelier that picked me up thought I was drinking some coffee, but I had in a coffee cup some Sancerre. And that's what got me out of trouble.
That's
Pinot Grigio.
That's awesome. And by the way, Sancerre is a much better option than a Tim Hortons coffee. So good for you.
So basically, I would have missed probably the lecture of the acidity of the Pinot Grigio if it hadn't been the Sancerre I drank just before. And by the way, I didn't spit. I had just two big sips of Sancerre that I swallowed. I was like, okay, I cannot spit anywhere. I was in front of a master sommelier. I just dropped the coffee cup in a garbage bin, and I started my tasting.
That is so good. All right, what just overall, you sort of hinted at it before, Lise, but what is the sacrifice that goes into becoming a master sommelier?
Oh my God, there's lots of money attached to this whole exercise. So I could probably buy a brand new car with what I invested. Or I could like have a cash down for a house with what I invested for becoming a master sommelier. That's like the first sacrifice, I believe. The second sacrifice is time, which should be the first, actually, time, because life is too short. You know, all this time spent in my books and tasting and like practicing has been quite demanding. I don't regret anything, no regrets at all. I think it's the best thing that could happen to me, like realizing like this goal, and it was a dream, and touching this dream was just, you know, worth each and every sacrifice for sure.
Yeah, it's an incredible accomplishment, everything that you've done, Elise. I got to tell you, I'm loving those stories. We don't have much time left, so I'll go back to the SOM app for a second. For anyone listening who's, you know, debating whether or not to download the app, and, you know, there's so many different things out there. Why again, if you could give people 30 seconds on why this should be an app that they should at least try to add to their lives?
Well, it's easy, Matt. you download it for free. That's where we're starting the conversation. So downloading it is an easy like first step. Afterwards, start to look at what's offered. We have some great partners, and we have like fantastic things coming up with like Crew and Grand Crew that we're going to be showcasing in a few weeks, where we're going to be like as well partnering with a restaurant where you're going to be able to have as well have like some free tastings. And there's so much more coming up with the app. For now, like downloading it and starting to get familiar with like how to pair your food, like as I'm saying, easy, very organic. Like download and play with the app, you're going to see that it's going to give you some recommendation for you to at least have a little bit of guidance when you arrive in store to buy wine. If you're not finding like, if you're not having your favorite sommelier around or your favorite like wine consultant, well, some is there to support and to help and to make sure that you're going to have the best pairing in regard of what you're looking for.
What rosés are you drinking right now? Is there a specific region that you're enjoying?
These days I'm really Chablis. It's really warm outside, and Chablis is an appellation that is fresh and crisp and with bright backbone of acidity. It's just quenching your thirst. So it's probably like in white, definitely Chablis is the way to go for me right now. In red, I keep fresh as well. When it's warm, I really drink in regard of the season. I think it makes a big difference as well in regard of who I'm drinking with, because I never drink alone. Drinking alone is sad. So most of the time, if I have to drink with friends or family, I'll make sure that I make them happy. So I'm going to choose wine in regard of making the people I'm with happy. So that means that what's in my glass may vary. But if I'm the one picking for myself to start with, it's going to be Chablis for sure.
It's always a great place to start. Hey, actually, wait, we got about a minute left here, or about 2 minutes left here. Do friends or family members, do they get nervous visiting you, bringing you wine, because they get intimidated?
I mean, that very simple, Matt. I started saying like, okay, what are we having for dinner? Like, if most of the time I'm invited to places more than I'm inviting people at my place. But the thing is, whatever like happens, I'm saying like, I'm taking care of the wine. No worries. You don't have to bring any wine. Bring some cheese, bring some dessert. If you want to bring something, and if I'm going to my friends' places, now I started like for the friends that do care a lot about wine, they're saying like, could you buy me some wine? So I'm putting wine in their own cellars. So when I go to their place, I'll bring wine. And if they really want to share a bottle of wine from their own place, most of the time it's recommendation I gave them. So makes life pretty easy. But for me, wine, it's about communion. It's about getting together. It's not about the snobbery or anything that makes like people nervous. My friend, they know me and they know how simple I am. How, like when it comes to wine, I can be very picky, but never, ever, ever I will want to have the wine experience being about snobbery or anything like that. For me, wine, it's about communion, about getting together, about friendship, and about simple, great things of life.
Or just a coffee cup with a glass of Sancerre will get it done as well.
For sure. This Sancerre is there in my mind and is going to stay there forever.
Elise, congratulations. First, just on your journey up to now, all the competitions you've won or near won, getting your master sommelier, it's an incredible thing. It puts you in one of the most elite groups on this planet when it comes to wine. And I don't mean elite in a snob way, just as in the work, the sacrifice, the effort you did to get there. And congrats on hooking up and with the work you're doing with the Somme app with Jennifer. It's a cool app. And I look forward to see what happens next with that app, where you guys take it from here.
Super. Well, keep an eye on it because there's some more good stuff coming up. And thank you for inviting me. Hopefully, we'll have the chance to eventually share a glass of wine in person.
I would absolutely love to do that. Thank you so much, Elise, for joining.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.